Let me take you back in time a little bit. The year was 1997, and Raquel and I, we had just moved the family from Mentor to Perry, and that year, the comet Hale-Bopp was visible up in the sky. Now, where we lived in Mentor, we had a lot of streetlights, and you couldn't see a whole lot of the stars at night, but where we were in Perry, there weren't even streetlights, and it was dark, really dark. And the kids just thought it was amazing to be able to look up and see all these stars. And we had this telescope. And I remember them straining to get up to the telescope to see the comet up there. And they were just completely flabbergasted by it. And our daughter, anytime she saw the moon, she would go bananas. The moon, Daddy. The moon, Mommy. And then a couple weeks ago, you may remember the strong geomagnetic storm we had from the solar flare, which disrupted high-frequency radio communication signals. But something beautiful also happened. We could see the northern lights right here in Lake County, at least if it was dark enough by you. It was spectacular out by us. And then who can forget the total eclipse that we had just not too long ago in April? I mean, a once-in-a-lifetime event, really. And I tell you, the thing that I thought was the coolest thing of that was that no matter where you looked, which horizon you looked on, there was sunset. You could see the sunset all around you. Now, natural phenomena are what most impressed imaginations of humans. Fire, lightning, tornadoes, earthquakes, and thunder. And these are used in the Bible to describe the manifestations of God. And today is the great feast of Pentecost, which ranks with Christmas and Easter as the greatest of the church year. It's the feast of the Holy Spirit who invigorates and animates the church. Listen again to the account of the first Pentecost from the first reading nearly 2,000 years ago, which the early church fathers often called the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. It says, "When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as a fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit." Wind and fire are two symbols associated with the Holy Spirit. There's all kinds of them, but we'll focus on wind and fire today. And they tell us a lot about how the Holy Spirit wishes to act in our lives. First, Acts describes the Holy Spirit as a strong driving wind. And there's something unpredictable about wind. You don't know quite where it is coming from or where it's going to go. Jesus himself in John's gospel says the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound but cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. That says something about the Holy Spirit. It's mysterious. It's unpredictable. And wonderfully so about him. But that means we can't control him either. And that makes him kind of scary. We can't control him, and we have only two choices. We can resist, or we can surrender. And it's scary to surrender to God. He might ask me to speak in front of a group of people. He might ask me to go out in the street and feed the homeless. He might ask us to become a priest, a deacon, a sister, or a brother. He might upset my way of life, and that is really scary. But when we are called to trust God, to give God a blank check, so to speak, to hand our lives over to him and say, "My life is yours, God. Do with it as you will." That's what we have to do. Now, one of the greatest prayers to the Holy Spirit is prayed by Catholics for over 1,000 years. We just said it in the sequence. We didn't say it in Latin, but the Latin of it is, "Vine Sancte Spiritus." Come, Holy Spirit. Now, there's a prayer that we can say over and over again all day long. It's short, it's quick, it's easy. Come, Holy Spirit, with your unseen gifts. Come, Holy Spirit, lead me to become the person you want me to be. that God made me to be. Another thing about wind is it's powerful. I've seen wind knock over trucks before. Tornado winds can devastate places. Wind can also do good. It can turn giant wind turbines, as we see in Euclid, generating power. So the Holy Spirit, when you let him into your life, he will do something powerful in you. He'll change you. He'll definitely uproot some things in you too. But he might make you into a powerful instrument for the changes God wants and needs in the world. Now, I can't help think about St. Pope John Paul II, who, during the early 1980s, visited his native Poland, which was under communist control and martial law at the time. The communist government had put oppressive restrictions on the practice of Catholicism. And Pope John Paul stood up to the communists and preached the freedom of the gospel of Jesus. He wasn't afraid. He spoke God's truth and unleashed the power of the Holy Spirit in that land, and he told them his three most favorite words, or three most important words. Be not afraid. And guess what? It toppled the communist government in Poland. It toppled atheist communism in the entire Eastern Bloc, and in time, it toppled the mighty Soviet Union. The Holy Spirit is wind, powerful and mighty. It can knock over the strongest things. It can lift the heaviest things if we let it into our lives. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against it, not against that wind. Now, the other great symbol of the Holy Spirit is fire. And fire can be seen as devastating and destructive, yet it also can be cleansing. The Holy Spirit is like a cleansing fire. Oftentimes, when people are attracted to the faith, they begin to pray, they begin to participate in the liturgy, and they often realize that God wants to burn away the attitudes and behaviors that are inconsistent with the life of grace. God wants to burn away our selfishness so that not an ounce remains. God wants to burn away our envy, our resentments, our addictions, our lusts, our prejudices. Come, Holy Spirit, burn these temptations away, burn these addictions away, burn away the things that pull me away from you. And there is more to the symbol of fire. Fire is also illuminating, especially for the people of biblical times. Before electricity, fire was light. It was illumination. It was how a person could see at night in the darkness. So when the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we come to a deeper understanding of the scriptures, of the faith, of the world. Do we want to understand how to love our unlovable neighbor? Ask him. Ask the Holy Spirit. Do we want to draw more inspiration and guidance from the Holy Scriptures? Ask him. Do we want to understand God's will for our life and our vocation in life? Ask him. Fire also symbolizes passion and courage. Courage that God wants us to have for the spreading of the gospel. After Jesus' crucifixion, the apostles, they hid in the upper room behind locked doors. Jesus had sent them outward and said, go proclaim this to the end of the world. And what did they do? They hid. They were more like fugitives than apostles. But when the Holy Spirit came, as Jesus promised, they burst through the locked doors into the busiest part of town and courageously proclaimed Jesus had risen from the dead. And 3,000 people converted on the spot. We need that sort of courage in an era when modern culture wants Christians to privatize their lives, to be quiet and get behind the locked doors and just go there. We aren't called to whisper our faith amongst ourselves and proclaim it just to ourselves, but to proclaim it loudly and courageously outside of these church doors. In our second reading, St. Paul spoke of the many beautiful spiritual gifts to be used in the Lord's service. Every baptized person here in this church has gifts for spreading the gospel because at baptism you received the Holy Spirit. You may think you don't have any gifts, but let me tell you, you do. Baptism is not an empty ritual, but an immersion into the very being of God and a transfer of his gifts to us. Now, the good news today is that each of us has been given gifts of wisdom in order to order our lives according to God. Understanding to reflect on the deeper meaning of our faith. Knowledge to see God working in our life. To write counsel. To form our consciences in light of church teaching. Fortitude to remain faithful in times of difficulty, trial, persecution, and temptation. Piety, to honor God rightly and reverently, and the gift of the fear of the Lord that helps us to root out sin in our lives. All of us baptized here have these gifts and are to be fueled with passion for the Lord's work. As Pope St. John Paul II said, "Be not afraid to listen to the Spirit who proposes bold choices. Do not hesitate to follow his invitation." The Holy Spirit, wind and flame, is alive in each of us and our church. Share that wind, share that flame. Let him animate your life and illuminate our dark world. Vine Sancte Spiritus, come Holy Spirit, for the glory of God and salvation of our souls.